I want to welcome you to a very special presentation. The title of this presentation is called Dental Marketing the Right Way. Put down the bribes in low-price brochures and give people what they really want. Look, when you're going through college to become a dental specialist, you might think you'll finally have it easy once you get your diploma. You'll instantly be the expert in your field, a trusted member of the community, and money will be flying everywhere. The reality is usually a lot different, and it can be pretty overwhelming when you find yourself faced with the fact that you need a marketing plan. This is where most people look around to see what the other guys are doing. But this monkey-see, monkey-do approach to marketing isn't different, and it usually doesn't work. The core of effective dental marketing is all about earning trust and building relationships. And in this audio interview with Dr. Jeffrey Anzalone, you'll hear what works, what doesn't, and how to form an effective marketing strategy for your specialty dental practice. You'll also learn the five things patients are really trying to figure out before they buy from you. You'll hear about an easy trick to find out what your patients do for a living without having to ask them. You'll hear how to license a pre-made book, put your name on it, and gain instant credibility as a dental specialist without having to write a word. You'll hear how to build trust and break into the toughest of social circles for referrals. You'll learn a surprising dental marketing lesson you can learn from weight loss ads. You'll hear about specific marketing strategies dental specialists can use to get referrals from general dentistry practices. You'll also hear how and why your waiting room should look like a shrine to your patients. And you'll hear how to create and gain powerful testimonials that get patients in the door. Marketing to an untrusting world. Patients jump from dentist to dentist a lot nowadays because they don't trust the industry anymore. They've been burned by doctors who don't have the time to form relationships with them, yet still want to sell them every expensive service and product in the book. In this audio interview, you'll hear how to create a marketing plan that builds and highlights your credibility, shows your patients your personal side, lets them know they are valued members of your practice, and creates a feeling of mutual trust and understanding. And it's not as time-consuming or complicated as it sounds. You really only need to stop looking over your shoulder at what the other guy is doing and start being the guy everyone is looking at. As it turns out, patients actually want trust, advice, and recommendations from their dentist. And in this audio interview, you'll hear all about the step-by-step process that works to do that. Jeff, when you spoke to all these dentists, what did you title this presentation?
I called it Trust-Based Dental Marketing in an Untrusting World.
What's some of the background?
Typically, I didn't really have much knowledge of this because as dentists, we're not taught anything about marketing or business. We're basically just taught how to do the dental work. And from a lot of the different research that I've been reading about, people are becoming more and more frustrated with businesses and different medical and dental practices to the point that they just don't seem to trust them anymore. In our experience as a periodontist, as a specialist office, it seems that every time we see a patient that we've seen in the past, they're jumping around from dentist to dentist. And it got me thinking, and I started asking questions why. I started to realize that their dentists are not building a relationship with them built on trust. They're just looking just to do the procedure and move on to the next patient. This is causing them to attract patients that all they're doing is looking for the cheapest dentist or one that's on their insurance plan. And they're not building these ongoing relationships that you used to see back in the old days where people would stick with their doctor or dentist forever. So looking at that really got me interested in figuring out, was there anything that we can do about it? But it's not just as a dental specialist. The majority of our patients come from referring dental offices. If we're doing things or portraying ourselves as what I call a salesman, just trying to sell the next service and move on to the next patient. Well, if we're doing things that we're being perceived as a salesman, and typically the way that we market to dental offices, we bring them cookies or candy baskets or take them to lunch. In essence, we're trying to silently bribe our dental colleagues for patients. And unfortunately, there's really no other way out there to market to dentists. When I started my practice, this really made me uncomfortable marketing this way. And what really hit home with me one day, I was at my friend's office. He's a physician in town. And we were talking in the hallway, and the door to the waiting room opened, and this guy walked in. He had the suit and tie on. He had the box of donuts, and he had his little clipboard needing a signature for something. As soon as he walked in, I knew he was some sort of rep or salesman. And as soon as he walked through the door, my friend kind of sighed and said, "Oh, great, not another one." And that got me thinking, I wonder if that's what the dental offices that we visit think whenever we come through the door. This really made me uncomfortable, but this was the only way that we knew how to practice. Those couple of events really got me to doing a lot of research on marketing and ways that we can build more quality relationships, not only with our referring dentists, but also with our patients. I'm sure most people have heard the story of a cat that jumps up on a stove and they burn their paw where a burner has been left on. So he doesn't just avoid the stove in the future, he'll stay out of the entire kitchen. And this is how your patients and your referring dentists feel if they've been burned before from other advertisers, other marketers, other consultants, other salespeople, whatever. And us dental specialists, we don't realize that we frighten our patients a lot of times because of this. We just think we frighten them because we can hurt them and inflict pain, but also this is another reason why we can frighten them, because of this being burned in the past by these types of people.
So are most dentists selling the wrong way?
Absolutely. And in dental school and in our residency programs, we're never taught anything about typically the business aspect or how to sell. Typically, we have a patient that comes in and the cost of the treatment is either very low or sometimes it's free. All we do is give them a list of things wrong in their mouth, tell them about it, and then they schedule treatment. We get out into the real world and it's totally not anything like that. But we start thinking, well, the only thing that we have to sell to our patients are dental implants, braces, crowns, but we must first learn to earn our patients' trust before we recommend any treatment. Michael, I don't know if you remember back in the 80s, the Chrysler Corporation brought back Lee Iacocca to save their struggling company. Do you know how he did that?
I don't.
He did something at a time that really no other car manufacturer CEO had ever done. He actually appeared in TV ads that did not sell cars. He actually set out to win back the public's trust, and he is the one that came up with these long warranties that you see now, this guarantee of satisfaction. You know, you have the 6-year, 60,000-mile, or 8-year, 80,000-mile. Before he offered that, there was nothing out there like that. So he was coming on, developing that, and now everybody does it. And it completely changed Chrysler around and brought it back out from the brink of bankruptcy.
So you're saying dentists need to start doing that now?
Absolutely.
Is there a lot of advertising out there in the marketplace for consumers?
Actually, the research shows the average person comes across anywhere from 6,000 to 8,000 marketing messages a day. To me, this is just mind-boggling. This could be in the newspaper, TV, radio, emails that we get. We look on the side of buses that are traveling past us. Even we go to restaurants on some of the placemats. So literally advertising and marketing messages are everywhere. And typically, these messages are filled with all kinds of broken promises about cheapest price, best service, money-back guarantee, etc. So if we continue to be inundated with this, it gets to the point where it's so hard for the consumers to know what to believe. They're confused. And unfortunately, as dental specialists, this is what we're up against when we're trying to form relationships with our patients and when we're trying to form relationships with our dentists. Everybody's walking around, and unfortunately, they're dazed and confused.
To call and set up your free strategy session, call 318-998-3027. Are dentists really making any money out there today?
That's a great question, Michael. A lot of dental specialists that we work and consult with, it's really mind-boggling to see how many are in their 50s, 60s, even 70s that absolutely have no money. They're broke. And typically if you ask a dentist how their practice is doing, they're usually going to answer with some sort of our collections are doing good or our production is up. So it's typically money related. But having a high income does not necessarily mean someone has a large amount of wealth. In my area and all over the country, it just seems like the majority of dentists never retire. And the reason is, really, they're broke. They're in debt up to their eyeballs. And now we're seeing this shift of grandkids moving back in with the grandparents because their kids can't afford anything. So now they're having to support a whole other set of kids, which is their grandkids. Typically, this isn't something really exciting to look forward to as we start nearing our retirement age. So in my opinion, dentists, we should learn to think more in terms of equity. And if you think about it, where does equity come from? Really, equity comes from patients that not only return to our practice, but they're also referring their friends, their family. And it also comes from the different relationships we build with our referring dentists that continually send a steady stream of patients. So if you have equity built up in your practice, and when you go to sell your practice, that's what they're going to look at. Equity equals wealth.
How can a dentist start building equity in their practice?
Typically, the first point of contact a new patient has with the dentist or dental specialist is via the phone. And they'll call to make an appointment, or their referring dentist will call, make the patient appointment. And then typically what happens next is they'll come in to the appointment, fill out paperwork, and then start the new patient process. What I've found to really be completely different, unique, and really help start to build that trust-building process is this. Before the patient comes into the office for the first appointment, they should receive, in my opinion, just mounds of material about you, about your office, about your staff, about patients that are happy to share their stories about you before they step foot through the practice the first time. Now, this can be in the form of newsletters or pamphlets or books, booklets, testimonials, whatever, anything that you have that can start this trust-building process.
And right there, that is going to totally set you or that dentist apart from anything probably that patient has ever experienced before, right from the get-go.
Absolutely, especially from a dental office. Now, they may have had that before with maybe experience with another company, because I'm seeing more and more companies do that now, typically with Disney. When you book a trip to Disney, well, they're not going to wait until the week before you come to send you your tickets and stuff right away. They're starting to send you stuff to build that trust, to let you know that they're familiar with their services, their products, the different things, merchandise, experiences that you could do. So by the time you get there, it's like, man, I know all about it. And this is the exact same concept. I now routinely do not allow anyone to consult with me unless they've received this packet in the mail. I want that patient to begin to learn about me, my office, my family, my staff. I want them to know that, you know what, I'm just a regular guy. I've got a family. I've got kids. I'm not some scary individual. And what's really cool from the dental specialist point of view, typically when a new dentist moves into town or there's a dentist that you like to have the possibility to potentially working with in the future, most specialists send over food or plants or maybe try to set up lunch with them. And all the specialists are doing that. So we're already in the mode of trying to buy our way into their practice, getting referrals instead of building a relationship with them. This same type of information can be put in the form and sent over to them to let them know, you know what, this is how we're going to treat your patients and show them that you have the knowledge to not only help their patients, but help their practices grow, because you're going to be seen as something different.
So give me an example. What do you guys send out to new patients?
Well, we have what we call our new patient shock and awe package. It's very different. It's very unique. And this arrives in a nice professionally looking folder before the patient comes to the office. And it arrives with a personalized welcome letter. And it's filled with different things such as our office forms, our books, booklets, pamphlets, testimonials. We have some sample patient newsletters. We have like an office tour DVD. I've got an audio CD in there when I had a radio talk show interview me. And when a lot of the dentists, because a lot of dentists are very frugal, and I'm frugal as well, but when a lot of dentists hear about this, typically their first thought is, man, now, that's got to cost a lot of money to make and send out. And then I'll ask them, well, do you know how much it costs for you right now to actually acquire a new patient, and most of them don't have a clue. But once they figure out how much it does cost to acquire a new patient, then they'll gladly begin putting something like this together and mailing this out, because it's typically very expensive to acquire a new patient. Typically, people buy things based on their perceived value of that particular item or service. And if this exchange is broken by coercion, typically trust is broken. Most dentists, as I stated earlier, just think they have things to sell, and they just have to try to figure out how to sell them and think they have to sell a service or a product or whatever. And to them, a slow practice, you know, when their practice isn't doing well, you know, their collections are down, to them, it's all about a sales problem. But this is a very simplistic way of thinking. Marketing people, which most of the dental consultants that we've used in the past before I started doing things on my own, they were typically marketing people, sales people, ad people, etc. They're actually trained, Michael, to do whatever it takes to make the sale. And this ignores the fact that there is no equity in making sales like we just talked about. No relationship is being made for future referrals, purchases, etc. This is key if you want to continue building equity in your practice.
Where does trust come from?
Trust comes from four main areas. The number one thing, which is great for the dental specialists that are either watching or listening to this, is just by being a doctor, you're seen as an authority figure. And my opinion is the number one thing that actually trumps that is being an author. So if you take the word authority and remove the I-T-Y on the end, what do you get?
Author.
You get author, right. I wrote a book of 5 or 6 years ago. It's titled What They Don't Teach You in Dental School. And I had the book laying on my coffee table. They'd sent me a proof of it, the printing company. And my 4-year-old son at the time said, Dad, you have a book? Look, your name's on it. You must be famous. So a 4-year-old actually realized that if someone has a book, you're a little bit different. You're seen as different. This is the exact same thing with your potential patients. If you have a book, or you've written a book, or you meet somebody with a book, you automatically think that they're an expert or an authority figure in their field. You know, for my periodontist clients that I work with, we actually allow them to license a book, Everything You Need to Know About Dental Surgery, and they can use it to network with referring dentists, with their patients, and it's been a real game changer for a lot of practices.
And they can put their name on it?
Absolutely.
Instant credibility, instant published author.
The second way is just the longevity, the years you've been in practice. If you just started out in practice, well, it's just going to take some time. But typically people assume the longer you've been in practice, the more they're going to trust you. The third way is frequency, how often you're spoken about. When I moved back to start my practice, I needed an accountant. And I started asking some of the dentists in the area, well, who do you use for your accounting services? And the same name kept popping up. So immediately, because of this, I tended to trust him more and actually hired him for our accounting services. And the last thing is being a celebrity, being known for something. Typically, for whatever reason, we tend as a society to trust celebrities, and these could be worldwide known celebrities or even local celebrities.
Tell me the story about Dub Jones.
Well, for the people that follow anything with NFL, Dub Jones is actually the father of Burt Jones, which was a quarterback for the Colts many years ago. And Dub let us treat him for several implants a few years ago. And I started doing a little research and came to find out that in 1951, he played in NFL. He was a wide receiver. He actually scored 6 touchdowns in one game, which is actually a feat that's only been duplicated on twice since then. And I thought this story was so neat that I asked him, I said, hey, do you mind if I maybe do a little write-up about you in my patient newsletter that goes out? And I just thought it was a cool story since he was sort of a local celebrity. And we had more patients comment on that story than any other article that we've published since then. So my point is, I guarantee you there is someone that you've treated in the past or that you will treat in the future that's a local celebrity. And ask them if they would mind you sharing their story with other patients, because how are other patients going to perceive you? They're going to trust you more because, hey, you're the dentist that's working on this local celebrity, which we already trust. There's a guy in town that used to market himself as the cosmetic dentist for the Louisiana pageant, you know, to have the beauty pageant stuff. So he got a lot of cosmetic work just because he used that to build it as an authority figure. Not just the periodontist, Michael, really any dentist or any specialist, they could easily do that in their practice because they know who their local celebrities are, more than likely. It could be a news anchor person. It could be a guy that's always on television that owns a car dealership. Anybody like that, they could share their story with other patients.
That's a great strategy. Tell me about this slide. I see two cold relief remedies. One is a well-known brand, Children's Tylenol, and then there's the off-brand generic. What's the point of this?
Well, if who we trust plays a role in the day-to-day buying decisions we make, such as which supermarkets to buy from, or should we buy name brand or generic items, what about when purchasing a more significant purchase, such as maybe a large dental case or braces for yourself or your child, etc.? The research shows the more significant a purchase is to a buyer, the more consciously he's going to seek out someone he trusts more. Which brings me to this guy on the next slide is Bernie Madoff, which I'm sure everybody knows about the Madoff Ponzi scheme. But, Michael, let me ask you, why did so many people trust him that should know better? Do you know?
They were probably referred to him by people they trusted.
Absolutely. And there's a little known fact about the affluent. They usually travel in circles and trust nobody else but those in their closed community. They build walls around their community and rely strictly on peer-provided information. So, for instance, most of them use the same maid service, most of them use the same lawn service, shop at the same shops, etc. So it's really hard to penetrate these walls of trust, but it actually can be done. And in this particular scheme that he had, once the wall was penetrated just one point, it quickly spread to the others and became viral. They said, well, if my friend is investing with this guy and he knows what he's doing, then I'm going to do it. And it just spread and it basically just got out of control. So the harder the trust of anyone in a tight-knit community is to get in the first place, typically the more viral it's going to be within that community and the more valuable its viral nature is. This is why it's so important to find ways to gain the trust of some of the most influential people within any target group in which you seek to develop patients from. So typically most dental specialists don't know where their patients work or what they do. A lot of times we just see them for a consultation, we do the work, and that's it. We don't get to know them. We may not know if a guy comes in and he's the president of all the local banks, or if he's a CEO of a local company or business. So we came up with a very easy and inexpensive way to find this out. And typically you'll see this a lot at restaurants, and that's where we got the idea from this. And it's just a very easy thing to do. It's a business card drawing. So if you just take a simple fishbowl, and we just had our local printing company print up a sticker that says drop in your business card for a chance to win our monthly prizes. And this is really the best way to find out who your patients are without being too nosy.
Because it's got their company name on the card.
Exactly.
That's brilliant.
We've actually been pleasantly surprised by who we've been treating over the years. You know, I would look at a card and go, man, I had no idea she did that for a living or he did that, you know. So knowing this information can be invaluable as you can offer their employees certain incentives on their behalf to network in your community. For instance, we treated the CEO of a local hospital. They had like 3,000 employees. And we came up with a special offer specifically for their employees. So just doing that one time got me thinking of different ways to network with the community, because there's just tons of different ways out there to do that.
So dentists have to start looking at their patients not as a one-time hit for some crowns or implants or periodontal work. They got to look at the potential referrals that they can get from that patient. You can only do that by learning a little bit about them and building a little bit of a relationship with them.
Exactly. It's just another way or another potential source for new patients. And we want to have as many different sources out there trickling in, so if one source dries up, we'll continue to get flow from the other sources.
People don't trust themselves with salespeople. What's this about?
Let me ask you, Michael, whenever you walk into, let's say, a store or retail outlet store, something like that, and the salesperson walks over to you and they ask, can I help you? What's typically the first thing that you're going to say to them?
I'm going to think in my head that I'm going to have the oh yuck reaction, and I'm going to say just looking.
Exactly. So we know for a fact that, you know, if this buyer is male like you and I, then he's not just looking, because typically we've done our research, we know what we want, and we go and get the product, and there's typically no browsing around for us. But we just don't like being sold to. And my wife, whenever she has to get an oil change, she hates going because she knows when she's there, she's going to feel taken advantage of by the salespeople there telling her, well, you need new wipers, or you may need a new radiator flush, battery, or whatever. People, they want to avoid this situation if possible, typically because it's very hard for them to say no. So people fear salespeople a lot of times because they think they can tell them no in the first place.
And a big percentage of these patients have these fears?
A high percentage of our patients have a lot of these fears, the worries, danger, don't listen to this or don't buy that, weight on one side of the scale. And it's really our job as dental specialists to pile up as much trust as possible as the counterweight to help balance this out.
Right, so what are some things a dentist can do to prepare for objections and maybe the negativity that the public has for their services?
A very easy thing to do, and this could be if you have maybe quarterly or monthly staff meetings, and ask them, what do they think most patients, before they come to our office or before they go to any dentist or dental specialist office, what are some of the negative things that they're already thinking about us as a profession? And make a list. And my staff did a great job coming up with over 20 different things that they think about that are negative about the dental profession as a whole, such as it's typically going to hurt, so pain. They're typically going to have to wait a long time in the reception area. It's probably going to be expensive, et cetera, et cetera. So make this list with them, go through it, and then come back and list all the different positive things that we can do as a practice, how we can overcome them. So, for instance, if it's going to hurt, if they're going to have pain, we could offer sedation. If they typically are complaining about price or high price, have different ways, different financial options, interest-free financing, whatever. And the best way to relay all this is through your information, typically before they walk through the door, what we talked about earlier with that new patient packet. But letting them know all this up front is a great way to prepare them and to get rid of all this negativity before they come see your office.
When you first got into the practice, I'm sure many professionals have this feeling of entitlement, right? Because they're a doctor, they shouldn't have to do this. What would you say to them, someone thinking like that?
I have to make a confession to you. Actually, I admit, the first few years that I started my practice, I felt entitled that I should have success, that I didn't need to market because I was a periodontist. I look back and said, you know what, I'd worked hard, I'd delayed gratification, I'd taken out student loans, you know, I'd done all this, and now I was entitled to this high income, and literally patients should just come flocking at me at my practice and just throwing money at me. And needless to say, this was totally wrong, because it doesn't work that way. But many dental specialists think that the different services that they offer, or their top-notch staff, or the different training that they've had, or the training that they do each year makes them so superior that they are entitled to a successful practice. So I don't want this to fool anyone out there, because success hardly ever comes via entitlement. So if you just look at what our country is now becoming due to all those that feel they are entitled to everything, it's not a good thing.
What is it, from your research, do you feel that patients really want to know?
A new patient comes to your office, and they're sizing you up, they're sizing your staff up, and there is a small percentage, typically 20-25%, that are just solely going to shop around on price. But the majority don't. 75% or more do not. And the more significant the purchase and or the higher up in customer affluence you go, the more influence matters other than just price. But unfortunately, when we go to advertise, typically dental advertisements are all about products, services, cheapest price, and unfortunately, selling this way is the least interesting to patients.
All right, so give me some examples of what patients are trying to figure out.
Michael, I've come up with the five things that the majority of our patients are trying to figure out before they make a significant purchase or investment with a new dentist or specialist. The first one is being authentic. when people saw or met Walt Disney, his enormous enthusiasm for everything he brought to them was totally genuine. And you could just tell just from conversing with him. Everybody has at least one character trait that is genuine and authentic that can be magnified so that the patient focuses on it, which is beneficial for trust building. It's important to figure out what this is and then use it in that aspect. The second thing is believability. Is he or her telling me the truth? So if you're the type of practice that makes these fantastic claims about you or your staff or how many implants you place or your success rate with this, this may set off red flags because people know that everyone is human and nobody's perfect. And a lot of times you'll seem too good to be true. In my opinion, Michael, this is where testimonials will come into play, and what others say about you and your practice is going to be far more influential than what you say about yourself. Typically, the dental TV ads that I see, not only in my area, but in other areas of the country, a lot of times they'll just show the doctor talking about, hey, you know, I'm Dr. This, and we do this, and we do that, and we take care of you, and it's all about them, instead of turning it around and letting other patients that they've treated help sell their practice to other people. The third thing is credibility. Michael, would you hire a contractor to remodel your kitchen or build you a new house before seeing some of their work?
Probably not. Not if it's a large job. I'd like to see some of what they've done previously.
Our patients are no different. They need to see work that's been done, completed work. They need to see successful outcomes. And this is a hugely underused strategy. Your referring dentist should constantly get before and after pictures or before and after x-rays of the patients that you treat. So what this is doing, this is constantly reinforcing not only your skill level to the dentist, but you're also reinforcing that you care enough to do so. We had one of my dental implant reps in the office not that long ago, and I was showing him a bunch of pictures that I took earlier that morning of an implant case where we had to do a good bit of grafting and use membrane and a lot of the stuff that his company sells. And I showed him all these pictures. He said, man, it is awesome that you document all this for your referring dentist and just for your documentation. And I said, well, why do you say it like that? He said, there's maybe one or two other specialists that I can think of out of all the specialists that I work with that actually do that. So to me, this just tells me now that it's just a hugely underused strategy that we all know how to do it. We just need to do more of it.
And it's not hard to do, is it?
No, not at all. There are some people that actually just use their camera phone, which you could do that, but just typically any type of camera, you know, with the technology today, it's very simple to do. And with computers, I mean, literally from the time I take a picture to the time it's printed out, it's maybe a couple of minutes. Next is superiority. People are always thinking to themselves, am I making their best choice? Most of us want the best for ourselves, and especially for the orthodontist, the consumer wants the best for our kids that they can possibly afford. So it's very reassuring when the dentists that patients are being consulted by have earned the status as expert in their field. And like I stated earlier, this should be done before your patient steps foot in the office. And there's a handful of dentists, and people that are listening to this can probably think of a few in their area, that use their pricing strategy as a demonstration of superiority. So there's a lot of dentists that focus on the higher end implant or full mouth rehab cases or the larger different types of cases. And what this is doing, this is attracting those types of patients to their practice, even though a lot of people think they're very expensive.
Yeah, I mean, people see the highest price and they believe that they must be the best. There's a reason the price is so high compared to everyone else. Is that what you're referring to?
Absolutely. So they're attracting the exact type of patient they want to attract instead of what most dentists and dentist specialists do. They won't say no to anybody. They'll treat anybody. I mean, a lot of times you need to figure out exactly who your avatar, your target market is, who you really want to see, and then start doing everything you can to start attracting more of those types of people. Fifth is people want value, and they're thinking, am I paying a fair fee for this service? This goes even with the affluent patients. They want not only a fair fee, but good value and service. by taking the steps that we just mentioned earlier, this trust building also builds a value in you and your practice, which is going to help when you go to quote your fees with the patient. Michael, it would be a good idea for the listeners to think about those five things we just discussed and how they relate to their own patients to help them build a trust-based marketing campaign. And there are probably other things that you can probably add to the list that are important besides those five things, and we should constantly update them to constantly add more value and build more trust with our patients.
To call and set up your free strategy session, call 318-998-3027. What is it that people feel so threatening about salesmen?
Three main things. Childhood conditioning. Growing up, you may hear negative talk from your teachers or your parents or other adults, and you may see some TV commercials about salespeople, and you just learn growing up to avoid them like the plague. I know a lot of times when someone would knock on our front door during the weekend, you know, my parents would tell us, "Don't answer that. You know, we won't answer the door. Don't answer that." We're like, "Wow, it's probably a salesman. There was one just spotted in the area." Early on, we're already conditioned that salesmen are threatening, salesmen are bad. Second is being aggressive. And what I talked about earlier with my wife at the old chain shop, typically people don't want to be around pushy workers that sell things. We don't like the aggressiveness of salesmen. And the third thing, Michael, is being a self-doubter. So we doubt ourselves around salesmen. We find it hard to say no. We usually cave in buying something that we later regret. We'll leave the whatever store or wherever we've been and go, "God, can I believe they talked me into buying that? I don't need this." So those are really the three main reasons that I believe that.
How do I know if I'm appearing as a salesman in my practice?
Have you heard of Jeff Foxworthy with the "You Might Be a Redneck If"?
Yes, I have.
Well, I've come up with a "You Might Be a Salesman If" different comments on this slide that we can discuss briefly. You might be a salesman if you're easily accessible. With today's technology, it's very hard not to tell someone that they can be contacted at any time or available at any time. As dentists, we routinely get calls where patients need to be seen right away. And as specialists, we get the same calls, but we're going to be getting them from the other dental offices wanting their patients to be seen right away. So if you tell people that they can come in anytime they want, whether you know it or not, this severely lowers your status, which can make you untrustworthy as an advisor. So positioning builds trust, and you want to position your practice in the right direction. Next, being too eager. So if you see a patient and you attempt to pressure that person into having treatment done right away, especially a larger case, when you haven't built trust with them, telegraphing this excess eagerness, you could seem needy, you could seem desperate. Do you ever watch the show, and my wife and I love the show, Shark Tank?
Oh, yes.
There's been occasion where people will go and pitch their company or product or service or whatever, and then they'll start, as sharks start going out and it gets down to one or two, they'll start being really eager. "Well, you know, we'll do this or we'll change this or we'll work with you." A lot of times that turns them off and they say, "You know what? I'm out." You might as well just stamp "salesman" across your forehead if you're doing this now in your practice. Also, having a quick answer for every question. So many of the consultants that we've used in the past have harped on having a script for everything. Now, I do agree that many facets of the practice do need scripts, but you also should be very flexible. So a lot of times, if you or your staff are providing these memorized presentations too quickly, they can be perceived as being thoughtless or a practice response. So sometimes you could come across as being insincere or inauthentic. Next is using sales tactics. So we mentioned earlier, an expert and authority figure has a book. Do you know what a salesman has, Michael?
Tactics.
They have tactics, and they also have brochures. So a brochure typically is more product-based, and we used to routinely offer brochures to our patients after a particular procedure was explained, but we've really gotten away from that, and that's why they receive our book. There's a lot of doctors out there that are now using fancy software to present their presentations, and I'll agree sometimes this is nice to help get the point across, but a lot of times, especially in the biggest growing segment of the population, and that's the baby boomer. Now, one out of every four Americans are baby boomers. They like everything to be more personalized. they may not like to watch the same type of presentation that everybody is getting about dental implants or gum disease treatment or whatever. So a lot of times, breaking out the good old pad and writing down a personal prescription for them will help you to build trust with them more, whereas a salesman is going to have more of a product-based brochure. So we want to get away from that image with our patients. And lastly, you might be a salesman if you talk negatively about your colleagues. I know that everyone that's listening to this has had a patient come in and has bad-mouthed another specialist or another dentist. Oh, yeah, I went to the other periodontist, or I went to the other orthodontist or whatever. I didn't like them, or they did this to me. And it's almost like they're warning you, they're encouraging you to say something bad about that person. And I know it's very easy to do that, but I think that for every person that comes through my office that's bad-mouthing another specialist, there's probably the same amount that are doing the same thing about me. I mean, we can't please everybody. Everybody makes mistakes. You know, I make them all the time, just ask my wife. So one of the worst things we can do is to talk bad about other dentists in our area. I don't think anything can be gained by doing this.
So what are most of the dental specialists sending out to patients before they come in for the first time?
Typically, Michael, nothing, to be honest with you. For a handful of practices, they may send out a welcome letter. They may send out just some basic office forms like medical history form, their HIPAA or their financial policy, and that's about it. So why show up in your patient's mail the same as your competitors? So if you want to stand out, then in my opinion, you should publish something to begin giving your patients exactly what they want before they come in. They're going to want advice. They're going to want trust. They're going to want recommendations for the different services that you potentially offer, etc. And something else that's going to start to happen once you begin to do this, price will no longer be the determining factor of why a patient comes to your office. So think about who your target audience is. So if you want to attract the cheapskates all the time, then you need to talk about price. You know, how you're the cheapest dentist in the area, or $500 off dental implants, or $1,000 off braces, etc. Free this, you know, free that. Or you could stand outside of Walmart and hand out flyers. I mean, it's literally the same thing. But if you want to attract, let's say, more implant patients, you need to think about what the current implant patient is in your practice. Are they male? Are they female? Are they young? Are they old? Who do they hang out with? What groups are they members of? What do they read? Typically, in order to get in front of these people, these are the types of questions you need to have to ask yourself. Different people have different needs, so once you determine your target audience, you can begin meeting their needs aligned to their interests. Now, I have a friend in town that's an orthopedic surgeon, and he actually treats more sports medicine, so more athletes. And I help him a lot with a lot of different advertisements, and you know, he's in the process of writing his own book as well. But he showed me this big two-page layout they had in a local magazine here, and he asked me what I thought about it. And I kind of read through it. It was okay, but I asked him, I said, who is your target audience? You know, what are you trying to accomplish with this? You know, he said, well, I'm trying to attract more sports medicine patients, more athletes. I'm trying to get my name out there more. And I asked him, I said, well, could this magazine that y'all spent probably a couple $1,000s in this month, who mainly reads it? And I kind of see the wheels, you know, start working. He started thinking about it. I said, well, you know, typically the older segment of the population, you know, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, older, more established consumer. So I said, well, why would you put something like that in here? He said, oh, man, you're probably right. So he could have literally just taken $2,000 and handed it to me, and I'd have had a better use for it than what he did. But that's the kind of thing that we need to start thinking about before we go off and spend this hard-earned money on these different things. We need to think about who our target patient is, and then from there start thinking these things through.
How do we do that?
As we talked a little bit about earlier about writing a book, we do have a program for people that just don't have time to do it. Like I said, for the periodontists that want to license our book, we have a program that we do that. But for the do-it-yourselfers out there, you can do exactly how I got started. Very easy to do. Sit down with your staff and you tell them, you know what, guys, let's list all the questions and concerns that we get every single day from our patients. They're typically going to ask, how much is it going to cost? When can I go back to work? When can I go back to school? school. Will you file my insurance for me? Is it going to hurt? Do you offer sedation? You know, just list all these things out. And this is the easiest thing to do. And that's the frequently asked questions section. And then answer them. And then you could have a little bio section about you and your family. Make sure you have a nice color picture to let people see you and your family. They really like that. And if you want to continue to expand on it, and that was the first thing we did. We just came up with a simple Word document and started sending that out along with a few other little things to patients. So we started expanding more and more, and we had a feature about my staff, introducing them, some of the common procedures that we do, start putting in testimonials. And as you can see, as you keep doing this, it kept expanding to the point where it turned into a book. And you can easily find a ghostwriter online that can help you with this project. You know, it's not hard to do. Again, keep it simple at first, and just know that just by doing this simple step, you're already on the road to differentiating yourself from the other dental specialists in your area. Now, once you write this or start having this, and it does turn into a book, so with each sales opportunity, make sure you assert yourself as an authority figure. James Towns Only, author / dentist, or author / periodontist, or whatever. Come have an evening book signing with the author / dentist, doctor, whatever. People respond to title. So why do you think so many companies use celebrities to sell their products? How many authors / dentists in your local area? There's probably none. So being an author is going to help separate you from the pack, begin to differentiate yourself from others, and make you a lot more attractive to a certain target audience. So if you currently have premium fees or you'd like to start charging more, being an authority figure will allow you to do so. So by being an authority figure, you will begin to present your treatment plans to patients against less and less selling resistance.
Tell me about this Charlie Brown famous slide.
I'm sure that everyone's at least some point in their life seen the cartoon Charlie Brown. And we typically all know the outcome when Lucy holds the football for Charlie Brown to kick. So he runs towards the ball eager to kick it, and then at the last minute she snatches it away, leaving him to fall on his backside. Charlie Brown claims that he doesn't trust her, as she's done this trick to him numerous times, but when Lucy gives some reason why he should trust her, but the result is always the same. So I remember in one episode, Lucy actually gave him a signed document before the kick, promising not to remove the ball. So after the botched kick, she explained that the document was not valid because it was not notarized.
That's funny.
So the public every day deals with these types of scenarios day in, day out. They're constantly promised the moon by companies, professionals, etc., and then at the last minute have the ball snatched away from them. It's becoming harder and harder for them to trust anybody. So when we as dental specialists offer some sort of maybe promotion or special or discount, typically the first reaction to it is usually of distrust because it may seem too good to be true. So how about trying to offer maybe a guarantee? Well, most people don't believe in them, thinking, yeah, well, you know what, if it doesn't work or if it fails, good luck on us trying to get our money back. So the best way to get around all of this is to prove everything in your practice, whether it be a claim, statement, procedure outcome, warranty, whatever. So you should never presume you're trusted just because you're a doctor. You have to earn your patient's trust.
So as far as proving it, a picture's worth a thousand words. We talked a little bit about this, right?
Absolutely. And probably one of the main companies that have these before and after pictures are the weight loss companies like Jenny Craig and Weight Watchers, because no words in an advertisement anywhere can show weight loss like those before and after pictures can. And what you're seeing now is a shift in these companies, because a lot of times now people are wanting to see the foods that they can eat on these diets more than those before and after pictures. So a lot of these companies now are showing all the different types of chocolate pie or fried chicken or whatever you can eat on the diet, which when you buy the program, you don't realize you can only eat just a sliver of it. But anyway, that's what they're going towards. So, again, we did touch on this a little bit. If you're not in the habit of taking before and after pictures, then you should seriously consider this But think about, you know, a lot of times a lot of our clients will say, okay, well, I either going to start doing this now, taking these before and after pictures, or I've got a ton of before and after pictures from residency, or I've got them laying around here. What can I do with them? And my recommendation is use them to provide proof, to build trust in literally every medium that you have. You could use this on your website. You can make booklets or pamphlets. You can, as we stated earlier, constantly send them to your referring dentist. Put them in your waiting room. If you do any mail outs, if you do any patient newsletters, literally your waiting room should be a shrine to your patients. All about you, what you offer, your products, your services, building trust, not what most waiting rooms or reception areas are, and that is full of magazines, full of newspapers, people watching television.
Does the same thing go for testimonials from patients, written ones?
Absolutely. What you say about yourself does not have the effect as someone else talking about you. So instead, let others brag about you and increase your credibility in the form of testimonials. Typically, I'll ask a dentist that we're working with if they routinely are acquiring testimonials, and most of the times, they're not. And in my opinion, testimonials cannot be overused. I mean, you cannot use them enough. And I guess the big roadblock for people is not only do they not know how to acquire a testimonial, they don't know how to leverage them after they get them. I admit, when our office initially began collecting these, we made a big mistake. We started looking at how some of the other specialists in the area were taking testimonials, and most of them were very generic. Hi, my name is Mrs. Smith, and Dr. Anzalone is great. I recommend their office. So as you can see, it's very generic. It's not anything different. And once we changed our format to more of like the diet industry, you want to paint that before and after picture. So the before picture is going to be what were the concerns, the problems, the skepticism your patient had before dental treatment. And that after picture is what were the results they obtained, the positive results after your dental treatment. So when you look at the diet industry, typically you may hear, I used to be overweight, made fun of, have no energy to play with my kids. Now, thanks to this new diet, I'm healthier, I weigh less, I have more energy than when I was a teenager. So you see how that starts with the before, kind of paints before they had the diet and then after. And the way that we've set up our little testimonial sheet, you know, when we ask people to fill it out for us, it'll ask them, what are the fears and concerns you have before the dental treatment? And then we just ask them, well, how were they resolved? So we can take the answer to those two questions and can put it together. Typically, I would start off there. And then after you get better with it, typically you want to move into getting a video testimonial. Because with that, you can also post it on your website, you can make a DVD out of it, and then you can transcribe it. And then with the transcription, you can put it literally anywhere. But that's a little more of an advanced strategy. And I have a guy that I work with, Ron Sheets, who does a really good job at that. So a lot of times when a lot of our clients are wanting to step it up and do that, I typically will send them to Ron.
All right, that's great advice. It takes testimonials to a new level.
Absolutely.
All right, we touched on this, the money-back guarantee. So should a dentist offer a money-back guarantee? Is it a standard practice in the industry?
I don't believe it's a standard practice yet, but typically when we talk to a lot of the specialists across the country, they're routinely, in our practice, we're routinely asked by patients, well, is this guaranteed? Is this implant guaranteed to work? Or some of our endodontist clients, is the root canal guaranteed to work? How long is it going to last? Because now more and more consumers won't buy something unless there's some type of money back or risk guarantee. So with the risk removed, trust can now be earned by results. I use this analogy a lot when I train my staff on different things. So if you picture yourself on one end, you know, the starting line of a racetrack, then you have a series of hurdles between you and the finish line. So let's say those hurdles are between you and the patient that you'd like to accept your treatment plan. The hurdles represent a patient's concerns and problems with accepting your recommendation. So if you start to remove or lower each hurdle, this is going to help you to become more successful, more trustworthy, and more likable and more likely to get that patient to the finish line, and that is to accept your treatment, finish the treatment, et cetera.
So, Jeff, as you being a specialist, you get a majority of your patients from referrals of other dentists. Is there anything else you can do to build that trust?
Well, Michael, so many specialists are doing so many things to market to dentists, but unfortunately, most are doing it the wrong way. And we, as specialists, have to break out of this salesman image that most of us acquire when we market to other general dentists. And like I had spoken with a little bit earlier, the type of marketing that everybody is doing is what I've termed monkey see, monkey do. Basically, we look at what all the other specialists are doing, and that is basically sending the dentist food or gifts or taking to lunch or whatever, trying to silently bribe them for patients. Whether we know it or not, this can potentially anger dentists. So how would you feel if you were a general dentist and your practice was experiencing some slow times, which we all have some slow times, and a specialist comes in with food or takes you lunch or whatever, and we really know the real reason you're there is to get a referral. So a lot of times doing this while they're slow, it really angers them. And this really made me uncomfortable early on. And I went to a lot of the dentists that I know, personal friends, and asked them about it. They said, yeah, you know, it does rub us the wrong way occasionally. And I just asked them, and I took the quote from Zig Ziglar, who was a great motivational speaker, and he said, you can have everything in life you want if you will just help other people get what they want. So I just went around and asked the dentist, I said, what do you guys really want out of your practice? And do you know what I found?
What'd you find?
I found that they wanted the exact same things that we all want. They want more new quality patients. They want more patients accepting their treatment. They want less stress, better staff. They want more free time. They want higher income. So stumbling onto this secret was really the key point in my practice, which not only allowed us to break out of that salesman mold and be seen as different, but I looked up 24 months later and we had actually doubled collections and increased the number of new patients by over 40%.
That's impressive. This next picture shows you taking an award for Marketer of the Year in a competition in Orlando.
Well, a couple of years ago, I was a finalist at the Glazer Kennedy Insider Circle Marketer of the Year. And I basically told the crowd of over 1,000 people all the different ways. We had like 18 minutes to make a presentation. And what they wanted to do, and it's a brilliant marketing strategy from their point, because they're taking people with a business and you're supposed to let them know how your business was before you started using a lot of their concepts and principles, and now how is your business after that. And then they take these videos and leverage them, so it's a really brilliant strategy. But anyway, I told them all the different ways we were able to transform out of the salesman image so many of us specialists acquire and completely change our practice. So the secret was, number one, finding out exactly what the dentist wanted, which we just discussed, and number two, giving it to them and their staff to help them better their practices. If you're a dental specialist, I want you to picture all of your referring offices as your herd. Do you know how a farmer keeps his herd from wandering off?
Tell me.
They build a fence. Right?
That's correct.
Now let's talk about the greatest fence ever put around a herd, and that is providing consistent monthly contact so this herd will never forget about you and they never wander off. And the best and easiest way to do that is by providing information supplied in a printed, not emailed format, because as you know, emails can be easily deleted and trying to keep up with everyone's always changing email addresses is very difficult to do. This is why something physical delivered by the U.S. Postal Service is the best way. We've actually tested this. So typically, if we're going to send out information, let's say a newsletter or a flyer or a pamphlet, typically as a specialist, the ones that have done this in the past, it's usually clinically based or it's all about their practice. And you have to think about this. The dentists that are receiving this are constantly bombarded every day with clinically based magazines, articles, emails, newsletters, etc. So you're not doing anything differently. You're not doing anything to stand out. And just typically they're just going to trash it. And we used to do that quarterly several years ago, did not get one positive response from it. So giving our dentists what they really want to help them grow their practices does not include promoting our own practices through this clinically based information, such as, you know, I use this type of laser or this type of cone beam, or I place the most implants in town, etc. This type of information is going to turn them off. Giving them practice building information allows you to stand out and differentiate yourself amongst the other specialists. So you're actually out there to help them, so in return, they will help you. This is a completely different concept than what we're used to. This is the key, differentiation. So once I changed the format and started putting marketing and sales information that we were currently using in our practice to help us, turn it around, started giving it to them to help them, that's when something started to happen. But we also expanded that idea and then started offering separate information that would go out to their staff only, which would teach them about how they can better themselves with marketing, with sales, with following up with patients, with customer service, hospitality. And we started picking up more referrals from other hygienists and staff members. But doing this really made the dentist happy because now there's someone out there that is helping to train their staff each month for them for free. So all of these newsletters, all this information, and typically we send out audio CDs where I'll record people such as Howard Foran, the CEO of Dentaltown, Woody Oaks, Fred Joyle, who started 1-800-DENTIST, anything that we can do to help build that trust relationship with these dentists, to help their practice grow. All of this has allowed us to be seen by them as a partner and trusted resource rather than somebody, some specialist is just pestering them for referrals. So since we started implementing this, other specialist practices got a whiff of it, got interested in the concept, and they came up to me at a meeting one time and they asked if I had the interest or if I could develop that same type of program for them. So because they asked for it, I came up with a couple of things and now package it for specialists only. That is area exclusive, meaning nobody else in the specialist referral zone can utilize the system except them.
And this is called the Dental Prosperity Insider Circle?
Yes. So one specialist per area will get to license the use of the Dental Prosperity Insider Circle, proprietary brand and trademark, which makes you the go-to guru marketing specialist within your community. So our referring dentists typically don't want another box of donuts. They want marketing that's going to help them grow their practice, get more patients, have better training for them and their staffs, etc. And this is all about positioning you as that person, as that guru for your community to your referring dentist. So this is a program to give your dentist what they want so that they're happy, they're excited, and giving them all the tools and resources so that they will happily refer more patients to you. Now, this is trademark material, so we will agree not to sell this to any other specialist within the community. You own this, and this enables you to lock out your competition, all dental specialists. You're the one that is helping dentists in this way. You help them, they help you.
All right, so outline some of the benefits of this system that you've created.
Some of the benefits and features are you no longer have that dreaded salesman image that you have more than likely acquired over the years of practicing in your specialist practice. This enables you to distinguish yourself amongst all the other specialists in your area. This is a different, unique way to give your referring dentist exactly what they really want. This is going to help you build trust-based relationships with dental offices. Remember, the whole point of this is getting out of that salesman mode because we see by the last hour that we've been talking about how people perceive salesmen. And this helps us break out of that by building these relationships. Typically, a lot of the specialist practices will have what I call these roller coaster months. You know, one month they may just do great, and then the next month it's like, well, how can we have a great month this month and our collections be down the following month? So this really helps even out, make the collections every month a lot more consistent. it's also going to train you to get more patients to say yes to the treatment recommendations that you're giving them. And everything is done for the dental specialist practice. We take care of everything for them, and they're going to have a lot of questions. So we literally hold your hand every step of the way as you start to put this dental prosperity insider circle. It's a club, and you basically are forming it in your community, and we help you along with that.
All right, well, when you say exclusivity in my area, let's say I'm in San Diego, is it by geographical zip code? How does that work?
That's a great question and one that's asked quite frequently, and it varies. Because somebody in San Diego referral zone is going to look a whole lot different than somebody in a lot smaller community such as ours. So what we do is typically take all of the referring dentists, and let's say you have 100 in San Diego you want to work with. So once you start talking to those 100 dentists, no one else in that zone can talk to those 100 dentists at all, as long as you're a member of the program.
Okay. So if I'm listening to this and this all sounds good, what would you recommend the next step be for someone who's interested in learning more about this?
Typically the next step would be setting up a complimentary strategy session with myself. And, you know, a lot of the things that we talked about today, the people that have already listened to this have a really big head start because a lot of the things that we do and offer have already been told. But every practice and every person is different. So this isn't for everyone. So in order to make sure that this is a good fit, typically I'll get on the phone with the other specialists. They will discuss with me some of the problems, frustrations, issues that they're having in their practice and to see if this potential program would be a good fit for them. Because we also have some other different options that we do offer that may be a better fit. Typically it's not a one-size-fit-all thing. So that kind of thing is what we'll discuss a lot on the strategy session call.
Okay, and generally how long will a call take?
Typically anywhere from 30 minutes to as long as sometimes 60 minutes. We're going to make sure that the doctor gets all of the things that they want to discuss on the call addressed before the call is ended.
And how many other professionals are currently using your marketing system?
At this time, we have over, and we started this a little less than a year ago, we have over 20 areas across the United States that are taken. So there could be a potential that you may be in one of those areas. So we'll make sure that we will address that at the call as well.
I mean, this has all been very interesting. It's obvious to me that someone using these marketing tactics and ways to position themselves not as a salesperson and using some of the things we discussed could certainly increase the size of one's practice. I appreciate you sharing all this with me, Jeff.
Absolutely.
Why don't you give a listener the best phone number to contact your office to set up that strategy session for the professionals who are listening to the audio version of this?
Absolutely. They could call directly to the office, and typically Alice handles all of these strategy session calls, getting them set up. That number is 318-998-3027. They can also fax a request for a strategy session to 318-998-2503. And in that fax, if you can preferably give us your private line where we can get in touch with you personally to arrange a time to talk about the problems that you're currently facing in your practice and whether or not this would be a good fit for you. Typically, these calls are done on Fridays, but occasionally the doctor can't make a Friday, and Alice does a really good job of trying to fit those into our schedule as well as with the doctor's schedule, too.
Wonderful. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely.
That's the end of our interview with Dr. Jeffrey Anzalone. To call and set up your free strategy session, call 318-998-3027.